Good afternoon, everyone. I think we have a quorum. Now that we've gotten through the mundane items from this morning, we are here for the all-important Imported Water Committee of today. Good afternoon. I'm Chair Myers, and this meeting's called to order. Maricel, can you please call the roll?
Chair Myers?
Present.
Vice Chair Katz?
Here.
Vice Chair Madaffer?
Here.
Directors Ayala?
Here.
Castañeda? Blessy?
Here.
Fong Sakai? It's absent. Heidemann?
Here.
Kirschbaum?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
Paul?
Yes, present.
Rivera?
Present.
Scalzetti?
Here.
And Serrano?
Here.
Chair, you have a quorum of the committee.
Thank you very much. As we discuss that on the agenda, I will be calling on directors who pushed their speaker button. Please limit your comments to matters not already addressed and state all of your points when you have a chance to speak so we can move through our agenda. Do we have any additions to the agenda?
No additions to the agenda.
Thank you. At this time, I'd ask if there are any public speakers.
Calling on public comment for matters on the Imported Water Committee agenda or within the jurisdiction of the committee. If there are public speakers in the Zoom waiting room, please raise your hand through the Zoom app or press star 9 if you are listening by phone. Chair, we have no speakers.
Great. Moving on to the chair's report. Of course, we have the delivery agreement that was entered into this morning, and that's a historic step in our partnership with others to support resiliency. We just had the signing ceremony about an hour ago with Western Municipal Water District. And, again, we'd like to thank, and I'd like to personally thank the representatives of Western and Metropolitan for coming down and all the collaboration. And I just want to add, I think that we should add thanks and be proud of our committee, because our committee is the Imported Water Committee. Most of what happened today has flowed through this committee and has the support and the partnership of this committee. So I thank all of you personally for being here, for the work that you've done, and for our part in the collaboration on that. So thank you. Moving on to regional items, the state of California has set forth its California Water Plan 2028. It's a major update to the state's long-term water strategy. It's described by state leaders as the most ambitious statewide water planning effort in decades. It's intended to offset water losses expected from climate change. And we're seeing from this heat wave that we certainly have issues both north, south, east, and west when it comes to snowpack and these extreme drought cycles. They've set a statewide target to add or secure, and each of those are separate items that warrant separate review, add or secure 9 million acre feet of water supply by 2040. We'll be participating and monitoring, and we'll be coming back in the future for more information about the city's plan and how they suggest adding or securing that 9 million acre feet of water. Moving next kind of east, the Colorado Drought River Response Plan. I think we're all very aware of what's happening with the conditions of the Colorado River Basin. Colorado's experiencing the warmest year in its recorded history so far, and also one of its driest. Yesterday, Colorado's governor took a step closer to declaring a drought and activating the state's drought task force and phase two of Colorado's drought response plan. If conditions worsen, Colorado's governor could declare an official drought with a move to its phase three drought conditions. On the same general topic of the Colorado River and the post-2026 guidelines, the Water Authority has submitted its comment letter earlier this month to Reclamation on the draft environmental impact statement for the post-2026 guidelines. As I think we all know, a consensus was not reached. Therefore, the ball went into the Court of Reclamation and the federal government that is in the process of considering and the draft environmental impact statement, and we made our comments toward it. We thank the member agencies here at the Water Authority who joined us in submitting comments. The Water Authority's letter focused on the need for flexible management strategies on the river, including interstate and intrastate transfers and exchanges, something that we can say that we are certainly taking the lead on. We'll look forward to future presentations from staff as the process continues to develop and those new guidelines continue. We'll now move to director's comments. Are there any director's comments? Any comments from vice chairs? Thank you. There are no items on the consent calendar. We have four action discussion presentation items today. We'll start with the action item, which is to amend the agreement for consulting services with M Strategic Communications. And I'll throw this to General Manager Denham.
Mr. Chair, let me just make a motion to approve that item.
Second.
All right, we have a motion from Chair Madaffer and a second from, I'm sorry, Chair Madaffer, from Director Madaffer and a second from Director Ayala, or from, all right, Scalzetti. Do we have any discussion? Seeing none, we'll have a vote. Roll call? I think, do we have someone online? Okay, well then we don't need a roll call. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye, no, nay.
Any abstentions? Okay, motion passes. The next item on the agenda is the delegates report from MWD. In the interest of time, we'll combine this item and have the delegates provide their comments under the following item, since the Metropolitan budget was primary topic. So we're going to have the presentation on the Metropolitan Water District budget. Mina Westford will introduce the item and the staff, and then we'll have Met delegate comments as part of this presentation.
Thank you, Chair Myers. I'm still basking in this morning, so sorry if I stumble, but I do want to say that myself and my team really appreciate the support we felt today and the accolades, and so thank you very much. There is one unsung hero that I don't think gets enough credit, and that's Maricel Gonzalez up there, because she had to book all those reservations and meetings and change my schedules, and so I just want to make sure you guys say thank you to Maricel for being. She made sure Alex and I were where we were supposed to be on time. But the next item, you know, back to business, the next item is a presentation on the Metropolitan Water District's proposal for their FY26-27 and FY27-28 biannual budget. This item is important as it outlines Metropolitan spending priorities and anticipated rates impacts for its member agencies. And while the Water Authority's diversified supply portfolio helps buffer our region from some of Metropolitan's cost increases, Metropolitan's rates still influence the overall cost of water in San Diego. And so to give the presentation this afternoon is Alex Heide, who's going to walk us through the key elements of their proposed budget and the implications for our agencies. Thank you.
Thank you, Mina, and good afternoon, Chair Myers and Imported Water Committee. I'm going to go through the Metropolitan biannual budget. Just in the interest of time, we're going to keep it relatively brief, but hit on the key policy decisions that the board will make as part of their biennium process. So just background, Metropolitan adopts a two-year budget. The next budget starts in July and will run two fiscal years. They backed up their process a little bit this last cycle, which I think a lot of agencies and directors appreciated. They started back in September with some informational workshops on staffing and their capital improvement project process. A lot of that really was part of a process to outline decisions Metropolitan had made in the past have really impacted the current biennium. Part of that being that there had been staffing requests as part of previous budgets that went unfilled, and they had also cut back on CIP not necessarily keeping up with current maintenance and need for investment in their system. So they kicked those workshops off in September and October. That really started their budget process. Then in February, they had their first proposal that incorporated a rate increase. As part of that February proposal, they had were proposing 9.5% rate increases per year over the biennium. So for a total cumulative increase of 19%. The other thing I'll just point out as part of Metropolitan's proposal is as part of their sales projection, which has a very big impact on Metropolitan's overall rate increase, they're seeing the lowest sales in recent history at 1.2 million acre feet. There was a point in time in not too distant past where Metropolitan was seeing near 2 million acre feet of sales. So it's quite a change. As part of their proposal, and this comes from their February proposal, there's been a couple changes between February and today that have lowered this very slightly, but this just gives a look over the biennium. So as part of their baseline rate drivers, this is how the 19% gets made up across the two bienniums. Their departmental O&M is a 7% increase. They have state water project costs, mainly related to infrastructure fixes in the Delta, and a smaller portion of subsidence that has increased over over prior years. On top of that, the board took a decision as part of the current biennium to fund the next phase of DCP planning, which is $160 million, which will come out of the next biennium. Then they're planning on increasing their CIP program, which I'll go through in a little bit more detail in a future slide, but that adds an additional 1.5% onto their increase. And then they have a multi-year staffing plan, which I'll also go into some detail on, which adds a little bit over a percent. And then some funding for a 45 MGD Pure Water Southern California project, which doesn't have a huge impact in the current biennium. The majority of it is grant funded, but there is about $56 million that would be funded out of Metropolitan's funds to match those grants. That adds on an additional 1%. And then that very last line item is some increases in purchasing zero emission vehicles and associated infrastructure to meet CARB requirements, which adds a little bit less than 0.5%. So that's how you get to the 19% that they've proposed. This is split between two fiscal years. So just keep that in mind. Just, you know, helpful to see how that 19% has come to. This is something that Metropolitan put together, which shows really the level of impact between both discretionary and non-discretionary expenditures. Off on the left-hand side, you can see about 90% of their expenditures are either staffing related to prior MOUs or agreement related or commitments that they've made that the board doesn't really have the ability to change those funds. There's another 11%, which makes up those bullets on the right-hand side, the $270 million, which is much easier for the board to use as a lever to help reduce that 19% rate increase. A couple of those things that the board can look at is their PAYGO funding. That makes up about $200 million of the $270 million of their discretionary funds. Delta conveyance, project planning, and then some funding for both conservation and their local resource project program. So this slide here, these are two related items, both on the left-hand side related to staffing and on the right-hand side related to their CIP investments. Both of these are tied together. Metropolitan has made a case for the need for investment in additional staff because they are focused predominantly on the O&M side on doing corrective maintenance rather than preventative maintenance. That has resulted in the organization not necessarily being quite as efficient in the work that they could do. So what they've proposed is a multi-biennium staffing plan to help change that investment into preventative maintenance. You can see The blue on the the blue bars on the left-hand side are their O&M staff. The orange bars are engineering staff to help on their CIP. And then the gray bars are staff related to their pure water program. In that first biennium, the total amount of staff is 100. They've proposed 105 staffing positions, and that slowly degrades in the future bienniums. 82% of that 105 is related to field staff. Those are your people either out in the desert or over in positions that would help support their preventative maintenance programs. This has been an area of quite a bit of discussion at the Metropolitan Board level, but this is also related to the bar chart off on the right-hand side, which is Metropolitan CIP expenditures. You can see the green is their baseline CIP. The blue is that additional Pure Water Southern California project. As Metropolitan has noted, they're not keeping up with the need for current investment in their system. Kind of industry standards are investing about 1% into your overall R&R programs. Metropolitan's beneath that. So over a couple different future budget cycles, they plan on significantly investing in their CIP program. You can see in those outer years, they exceed over $1 billion over the biennium. And the staff on the left-hand side are to help implement this CIP program as they've proposed. So this just gives an idea of kind of context for why they're proposing some of the things that they are. Additionally, when you look at the Pure Water program, even though in the current biennium, you're not seeing a huge budgetary expenditure, you can see in the next two bienniums, you start to expend quite a bit of capital dollars related to a 45 MGD Pure Water project, starting really outside of this next decision point. The next area of major focus at the Metropolitan Board is looking at the ad valorem property tax. This is a property tax that Metropolitan has the ability to collect. It is applied to every property within the Metropolitan service area. That property tax currently is set at 0.007%. which means that a home with an assessed value of $1 million pays about $70 per year to Metropolitan under the property tax. What the property tax goes to is pay for existing costs on the state water project system. And that is all property tax at Metropolitan can go to fund. Currently, they're collecting $425 million per year as part of their property tax. Their state water project fixed costs are $570 million per year. So you can see there's a little bit of room for Metropolitan to increase revenues associated with AV to offset their state water project costs. I do think it's important to point out that as part of their current budget, they did double the property tax. Property tax used to be 0.0035%. They went from 0.0035% to 0.007%. effectively making, doubling their revenues related to property tax. The chart off on the right-hand side shows what those different property tax levels that Metropolitan could get to and what the corresponding rate increase would be. So currently at the 0.007%, the rate increase is 9.5%. If they were to max out their property tax revenues at the 0.0105%, that would bring their corresponding rate increase down to 5.5% per year, just to give an idea of full context of what they're looking at. So that culminates in some big decision points that the board is going to have to make. This chart here just shows the different budget drivers that make up that 9.5%, and then some of the options that the board is considering. So you can see on the AV property tax, there's four different options that the board is looking at. On conservation funding, they're looking at either maintaining conservation at its current level or just reducing that to their minimum amount needed to match their grant funds. On staffing levels in their CIP, the board is really considering whether to move forward with a staff proposal or do something less than. And then on the 45 MGD Pure Water Project, the question is, do they include it at the request from staff? Do they only do the grant-funded portion, or do they remove that project from the budget altogether? And then on Delta Conveyance project funding, there's a discussion about maintaining that $116 million in the budget versus removing it or doing, you know, something different than that. With that, that concludes my presentation and would be happy to answer any questions. I will just close it out by saying that Metropolitan does plan on bringing their budget to their board in April for adoption. And that would bring this process to a close. So happy to answer any questions.
Seeing no one in the queue, any Met delegates at this point have anything else to add beyond what's in their materials already? Hearing from no one, we'll move forward to to the Colorado River Board representative, Vice Chair Madaffrey. Have any comments? All right. There are no information items on the agenda. There are no closed session items. We are adjourned.
I'll do A&F in 5 minutes.